Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you heard the news. That dude came out of the cave yesterday. It was fucking freaked a bunch of people out. Anyway, it is season 283, episode 1 of the Daily Zeitgeist. This is still a production of iHeartRadio. This is still a production or podcast. I did that fucking 32 episodes in a row now, where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Monday, April 10th. 2023, which is also National Farm Animals Day, National Cinnamon Crescent Day, like crescent rolls, National Siblings Day, wouldn't know nothing about that because I'm an only child, and National Encourage a Young Writer Day. So if you got a young writer fuck in your that. Life, what'd you say? What? You say fuck that? Hey man, just give up, man. They're not developing shit like they used to out here. You know what I mean? Unless you got some IP that's really original. Anyway, enough about the industry and more about us. It is me. It is I, Miles Gray, a.k.a. Andrew T. Can you synthesize something for me? Spin my blood in that centrifuge for me. Andrew T, spin my blood, Andrew T, spin my blood, Andrew T. Okay, shout out to Pato Sand, who, again, I'm still on this wave of trying to get Andrew T to synthesize people's DNA at his own house because he said it's so easy. I said, well, I want to challenge you, and please synthesize my DNA and tell me what is going on with me and where am I from. But you know what? Enough about me. More about our guest host today. He's back. But you know what? We could not afford the voice today. I'm just going to warn you. We could not afford the singing voice today. But you know he's going to come in on a 10 like any great improv coach would ask. Please welcome comedian, producer, host, voice, fucking talent of the ages, Mr. Jacques Steele!
You can't afford me today. Yeah. What up, niggas? We are back. That's for Tory Glass.
Oh, yeah.
Tory. I see you. I saw you. What up, Miles? We back.
What's going on?
We back in here.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a joy when I do multiple episodes. And again, look, we love Daddy Jack.
Yeah.
I hope I'm the only person that ever calls him that. But it's just a beautiful thing.
I actually had to for the first year that I knew him.
You did? That's where I got it from.
I'm like, Jack, he's like, from. Daddy Jack to you, son.
Daddy Jack, like, please. Oh, Daddy wow. Jack. He's been making me call him that since 2018. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At least you got to stop.
Yeah. It took a while. I just said it. I started saying it in creepier and creepier ways that he eventually was like, hey, you know what? You can just stop doing that. I was like, Daddy Jack? And he's like,
shit. I should try that. I say mine respectfully. Like, unnerving. Daddy Jack.
Yeah, okay. No. Right. Be unnerving. That's how you get out of stuff. Anyway,
we
got to welcome our guest, Jacques, back to the show. It's been a minute, but since then, a lot has happened, including they got a new stand-up hour, okay? It's called Gen Z, and it is going to be released as an album this coming 14th of April. That's this coming Friday via Blonde Medicine and wherever you get your comedy albums streamed or sold. And more importantly, if you want to see the visuals of it, it is now available on the Comedy Central YouTube channel. Please welcome to the microphone the brilliant and talented Jenny Zagrino.
Hello.
Damn.
Jay-Z,
Hi.
What's going on?
I feel like earlier I did want to talk about the young writers and I didn't get a chance to. But mostly what I just wanted to say was stop, turn back. What are you doing? Don't do this.
Why? It's a hard life. It's a hard life.
Don't do it. Don't
do
it. Yeah, it's hard. It's not fun. What you gonna write the great American novel? No one fucking reads.
No.
Yeah,
no one knows how to read.
No.
Yeah. Make the great American TikTok.
I've been trying to read one book for the last year.
Which one?
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Klosterman's The 90s.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I was there. Yeah. I'm just reading.
You're there. You're reading it. You're like,
I'm just
whatever.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
now
yeah.
I'm not a child. I understand a little more. Okay. It's a good book. Everyone, go read it.
Actually, just on that point, like, have any of you ever actually gotten good advice about writing? I know all of us have probably dabbled in that. Have you ever gotten good advice on writing that wasn't just like, the one I got was just honesty. It's like, be ready. It was like, just be ready. It's very difficult. And that was enough to make me be like, you know what? I'm going to give up.
I think the best, it's kind of about writing, but it's about character in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from Malcolm Gladwell's masterclass. Because during the pandemic, I had to do something.
Improve yourself.
I don't know, for whatever reason, I developed this weird crush on Malcolm Gladwell. I'll never understand it.
Yeah.
I like came out of a fog in 2021.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God. But
I was in love with a light skinned ghost.
Pretty much. I was
He's
in love with a skeleton with a tan. So the advice he gave is like, if you really want to get to know someone, another character, like you will get more from what they have in their apartment than you will by asking them.
Interesting.
Like I can know more about you by looking at your apartment and going in your room than I'll ever know from asking you.
That's true. I mean, if you look in here, you see a Lakers jersey. There's
weed. I know you're basic.
Yeah,
basic as hell.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I got fuck. I'm into weed.
You're into weed.
Yeah,
and I have a bass guitar. It basically looks like somebody's dorm room that you would want a U-turn right out of.
So exactly, but he's basic. He's immature.
Mm-hmm.
He smokes more weed than he's going to tell me.
Oh,
so
I already know your character right off the bat. I would very, very accurately tell you how much weed I smoked. But yeah, for sure. That is true. Like, I mean, of course, there's so much more to glean from than if I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of a cerebral guy who's just like really into like art and stuff like that. as I look at like my weird Star Wars poster.
What can you tell little box?
Yeah, what can you tell from Jacques's mini Zoom screen?
From his box? Right,
yeah. Well, I can tell already you have a makeshift sound booth, so you're poor, okay?
It's makeshift. Get out of here.
I'm balling.
What is that,
of
a furniture blanket?
It's a Fernie pad. Yes. Yeah. Fernie pad. Yeah. They're great at sound control.
Yeah,
and you like thrifted art based on what I can tell from your Zoom screen.
Oh, and my naked 1970s lady.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Where's that? Did you thrift
now
that?
Now you'd
or?
Be like, she's a lesbian. Here's the thing. Not at all.
Not at all.
Hate other women's vaginas so much.
Just like boobies on
So
paintings.
What you're telling us is your assessment, like, that you can tell people from their apartment is inaccurate.
Well, just for me, because I'm a liar.
Just for you. Okay. That's fair.
I have many traps in my apartment to make you think one thing.
To throw
so
you off.
So many traps.
Yeah. They're like, you have a Gadsden flag of like, don't tread on me. You're like, yeah. What do you think of that? You're like, you idiot. It's a trap.
Yep.
Anyway, Jenny, we're going to get to know you even better than what we can glean from your apartment walls. But first, before we do any of that, we got to tell people what we are going to be talking about today. First up, we got to catch up with Clarence Thomas. We were just talking about him the last episode when we were talking about Candace Owens and some other really conflicted black people, to put it very charitably. And the amount of fucking just cool bribes and shit he's been getting from this GOP mega donor that he has not been disclosing. Oh, no. I'm clutching my pearls so tightly because I can't believe it. I can somehow. We'll also just talk about just some of the trips this dude has gone on. It's like, oh, it's egregious. Then we'll just check in Tennessee because, yeah, they've gone full fascist over there as they expelled two black Democrats. But the white woman who's a Democrat that was also protesting, she got by just by one vote. And she said, I suspect it has something to do with my skin color. And yeah, that's facts. I'm just kind of looking at the state of, you know, this new form of governance, a.k.a. silence your critics to the and expel them if you don't like what they're saying. And by that, I mean pointing out that you're doing very little to protect the people you represent. And then finally, we'll catch up with Russell Crowe briefly because he's got a fucking exorcism movie coming out. And
yeah,
we just got to talk like exorcisms are we got to stop like normalizing exorcisms because we'll talk about how fucking how much shit goes haywire. There's so much like
I've
exorcism.
Never heard anyone normalize exorcisms. That's
you'll be
what
surprised.
We're doing in this country.
You'll be surprised. You know,
you're not
know,
a knees. You're not a
you know,
knees neck of the woods, Jenny.
Did you know? I had no idea that like the Exorcist like brought the Catholic Church back from the brink, basically. And ever since then, they're like,
oh, that's so
hey, man,
unfortunate.
They fuck with that. Like, we got to lean into that. That's what I'm talking about. Like, they got a sniff of that. And suddenly, like, people like these rituals. We're going all in. Anyway, we'll talk
think
about
how many
all
kids
that.
Could have been saved if we just didn't have the Exorcist.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If we just someone didn't make it. And there's even a funny story about the kid who was like sort of the basis for that film. We're going to get to that and more. But first, Jenny, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, well, recently when I had to search for a project I was doing, I had to search the Star Wars characters because I don't know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm so happy for you.
There's so many.
Yeah,
that's good for you.
I'm so happy for you.
I know
I'm
them
just
all.
Like, I don't know. There's Han Solo, Adam Driver. Are they the same?
I like naming the character. There's Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Adam Driver, Princess Leia.
There's Billy Williams. There's Carrie yep. Fisher.
There's
James
there's
Earl Jones.
A stuffed bear, I think, at one point.
Yeah. Stuffed bear. Yeah.
I was doing I'm doing this project and I had to research them because I'd never seen the new Star Wars. I maybe saw the one old one, but never saw the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Except one time I saw the first 10 minutes. Because I was on a lot of mushrooms and we went to go see the first one with Adam Driver.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't stop laughing in the theater because I was like, he was in Girls. And then I had to leave. And then I just walked into Cats. It was a much better time on mushrooms.
And were people laughing in that theater or did you not
laugh?
There
was like two people in there and I walked in just as they were doing the Jenny song. Mm-hmm. And it's like Rebel Wilson and like a, you know, the Jenny, the fat cat. And there's roaches everywhere. And I was like, whoa, this is a way different time.
This is kind of more my speed right now.
It's a little more my speed. Yeah.
I should have did that. I should have saw Cats high as shit.
Oh yeah.
Mushrooms make like to Jenny's point, anything can be a comedy on mushrooms.
Oh,
instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly.
An Adam Driver movie was great.
Yeah.
Schindler's List, funny as fuck.
Somehow, it tripped me out when that one part, you saw the girl's coat was red. I didn't know what the fuck that was about. I thought I was tripping again. But yeah, any film can be a comedy somehow, or you'll just laugh from the... But I also like that you were just... Were you just sort of like, okay, I am laughing way too much that I'm just disrupting the film?
Oh yeah, I excused myself. I could tell people were upset.
Like, was it just any random thing you're like...
Yeah, he would show, first of all, I was on mushrooms, so I had no idea what was happening in the story. And then Adam Driver's pulsating face would show up, morphing, right. And I'd just be like, "That's the guy from Girls."
Oh my
Guys,
god,
it makes me so
girls.
Happy.
What?
It makes me so happy to know how much I know you pissed off Star Wars fans.
Oh, so much.
Especially the first one back.
They was mad as fuck, and I love it.
Excuse me.
And then too, the trailer before that had that one dude. It's like this one guy who I forget who he is, but he's an actor. It was like a spy like me or something. And he's like hanging out with this little girl and he's like a big, tough spy. But I was really peeking on the mushrooms. And I was like, I thought he was a robot. And I was like, they're letting robots make movies now. This is so messed up.
I think it was Oscar Isaac, maybe.
I may. He looks real. Yeah. Even in real life, this dude looks weird. Okay, so I don't think I'm that far
Oscar
off.
Isaac. I know who you're talking about. Dominic. He was like pasty white.
He's just
a lot of weird looking people in Star Wars. Oh, okay.
No, this was the part of the trailer before Star Wars came up. I don't remember. Oh. There was like some planet. I couldn't understand what they were saying. I just know.
That it's all good. Yeah. You know, it was just hilarious as shit.
You know, Snape showed up on the screen.
You're like, oh my God, is this a crossover episode?
I was like, oh my God, Snape. Alan Rickman, Snape. I love you.
He's back. Thank you. Jenny, what's something you think is overrated?
Oh, In-N-Out Burger for sure.
Go on.
Overrated.
Super overrated. Mm. It's fine. Mm. The French fries are garbage. Mm-hmm, they're trash.
That's what people say. Guess what? I love them.
Oh, because look at your jerseys, okay? You simpleton.
I know. Look at me. I wear my sports jerseys and I go, give me soft fries, please. By the fucking garbage bag full.
Gum the fries.
Them fries not good. Those fries not good. Like
mashed potatoes.
Those fries are the epitome of everything don't need to be fresh.
Yeah.
Some shit we can just have, you know, frozen with a bunch of salt. You know, like, let's just give us what we want. Like, I will say this. I'm from Chicago, so I am not, Miles, you're from here. So you have a more vested interest in the In-N-Out.
I don't have a vested interest. I don't give a fuck if people don't like In-N-Out. Like, what the
fuck? No, you're crying right now. Don't.
Man. I told you, this is courage water. TikTok hey, homie, this is courage water coming up out my eyes right now.
No, man, you're crying right now. It's okay, man. You can be true.
I ain't crying. Shut the fuck up, man.
In-N-Out is I do like In-N-Out burgers. I will start with that. And here's why I like them, because to me, burger prices have gotten ridiculous. Like, you go to a restaurant and a burger costs $15
$19
a meat patty. So I'm like, if your burger is gonna cost more than an In-N-Out burger, it has to be good. So yes, there are better burgers, but for how much burgers are, every burger should be $3 to $5. Burgers should be 99 cents. So let's get back to the fucking McDouble. So,
you want to eat 99 cent meat? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just proving my point. No. You eat 99 cent meat. You got a furniture blanket. Come on,
I will eat $10 meat. I'll eat $10 meat. It just got to taste better than a 99 cent meat. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying there's levels to it that it has to arrive at. Levels. Okay.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Or here's my thing. In-N-Out
Burger,
I'm gonna say
McDonald's fries.
But I'm going to say that what is underrated is in the fast food world is Carl's Jr. because their burgers are great.
Their burgers are good.
What's your burger?
One meal and it costs $27.
I'm sorry, it costs $13.45.
What's that second point to Carl's Jr.? What burger do you get though?
Oh well, this is why I like it. Is I get
Western bacon
the vegan one.
Oh, okay,
and a lettuce wrap.
Yeah.
That's and good. I'm like, oh, go. Wow, I feel so
Are
Californian.
You Are you vegan?
I'm trying to be vegetarian.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's fair.
Okay. I respect
so
that
I do put
for
cheese
sure.
on it.
Yeah. Look, we got it. We have to transition to a meatless world in the way we know how. You know what I mean? Like, we can't just go. I can't just flip the switch off. You know what I mean? I was eating meatless like the last 3 days. And then I had to put some mozzarella up in like a pasta thing I made and just.
Sometimes you need that hit of creaminess.
So, I must know, Jenny, what is a fry that you do love? What's a fry that you say?
A French fry that I do love?
Yeah, if it's Pokemon and I'm being like, in and out, I choose you. And you're like, man, watch me fucking dust you with these fries. What are you? Where are you coming
from?
You
know what? I'm going to go for a Burger King French fry.
Interesting.
Whoa.
I think they're good.
Go, Jenny.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for coming to the podcast today.
Yeah. Wow.
That'll be easy.
Nah, look. I love when like all polar opposites we all arrange on this show like this. Where
look,
we're all
when you get a really good hot one, it's great. Okay. McDonald's are fine. McDonald's is fine. It's whatever. It's fine.
Right.
So but again, Carl's Jr. does have waffle fries. And if we're going to go real crazy, let's get some Arby's.
Oh,
curly fries in there.
Arby's is good. I'm back.
Curly
I'm back
fries
on
is good.
Side.
I will say too, Five Guys got some pretty damn good fries.
I love Five Guys.
Fries. Okay, boys. I'll agree with that. But
those boardwalk fries in the greasy bag, yes, please. Ooh. You know what I mean? That's good value too.
Put that Lawry's on there.
Yeah,
give it to them.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Love
a
floppy
so
fry.
Everyone boycott In-N-Out Burger, a California staple.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, they're like big Christians and stuff. You sell the Bible
verses.
You know
what I recently had actually in Chicago? It was Red Ranch. Have you been there?
Yeah.
I had that. It's good. Pretty damn good.
Yeah. Wait, what's Red Ranch?
It's like a local place.
Oh. Yeah. Oh,
it's like almost like a smash burger and you know, they're very salty, like,
yeah, like
personality wise in there.
Oh,
your burger and leave.
Oh, is it a chain or is it like that spot where they just flame you when you go when you ask?
It's
something?
A spot.
Okay,
it's a spot, but it's not. But there's been multiple of those in Chicago.
Of the rude service where, is our thing, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love any place that treats me like shit. You know what I mean?
No, we're not eating Burger King fries.
Maybe that's why you don't like In-N-Out. The customer service is fantastic.
It's the Christianity that we're allergic
it's
to,
the
I
Christianity.
Think. Hell, here's your fries. And did you know that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son? Anyway, John 3:16. Uh-huh. Have a great day, Jenny. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about some hard-hitting news rather than soft, floppy fries right after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And so is ProPublica with a fucking groundbreaking report that they revealed last Thursday. We learned that Justice Clarence Thomas has been accepting, quote, secret luxury trips from Republican mega donor Harlan Crow for more than 2 decades. And this has included things like jet rides, like using his like P-Jet, his like Bombardier 500 or whatever the fuck it's called, and going on his 162-foot super yacht.
Yeah, okay. Do you think they're lovers?
I don't know. I mean, lovers of the end of democracy, for sure,
I don't know,
right now.
20 years? This is 20
years,
very,
a lot of
very,
gifts.
Very, what was that movie about the mountains?
Brokeback Mountain.
Very Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, but where Ginny Thomas is. She's like, you're not going up there to fish? Yeah.
What was that movie about?
Yeah. You're not going there.
It was about the mountains, y'all.
That's so funny because there is a picture of them fishing together. Harlan Crow? You mean Harlan Nasty? That was a wonderful line delivered by Michelle Williams in that film. Anyway, so just like put these things into perspective, right? The cost of a trip to go on a jet and then a 162-foot super yacht for like 9 days, people are being like, on the conservative side, could have gotten to around $500,000 for that. But wow. Fortunately, I guess like you know, he didn't have to fully disclose some things, because the way you have to disclose things are like, if you go to someone's private home, you don't have to disclose it. But the second transportation is involved, you have to fucking disclose shit. And apparently it wasn't even just to do stuff with Harlan Crowe. Like, it sounds like, based on like certain flight logs, Clarence Thomas like used his jet for like a 3-hour trip to go to New Haven, Connecticut from like DC a few years ago. And again, it's a problem. Because if you aren't disclosing all these gifts, especially if they're worth more than $415, it's hard to tell how the fuck you're being influenced. Although these people swear up and down, it has nothing to do with anything. I've never had any case in front of him. I'm just the connective tissue to other plutocrats and the Supreme Court justice, as well as, you know, people like Leonard Leo of the Federalist Society. So there's only one time.
I wish people would stop lying, though.
I know.
I mean, I just be real, because look, I'm going to be real. If you let me ride on your 162-foot yacht,
yeah,
next decision I make, that's your decision, bruh. Yeah.
it's true. It's, I don't even know. I mean, it's like, here's the thing is you hear it and you're like, wow, that's crazy. And then you also are like, nothing will happen.
Right, exactly.
Nothing will happen.
Nothing. That's the wonderful sort of ebb and flow of being an American in this country and being half tuned into what's happening. Where you're like, how the fuck can this happen? And then you immediately then modulate to, well, what the fuck? I mean,
is he really going to see justice?
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows?
He is justice.
Yeah, I know. His name is literally Justice Thomas. But like, so again, we also found out like he only disclosed one trip back in 1997. And, you know, apparently this is just the tip of the iceberg. He, like, Crowe also just made it rain on Clarence Thomas with all kinds of fun gifts, like giving him a $19,000 Bible that he won at an auction that belonged to Frederick Douglass.
Wow. And, you know what? I mean, that's 19, actually kind of 000. A sweet gift in a weird way.
This kind of, your theory starts to hold up, because Harlan Crowe's quote about it was like, I was at this auction and I saw the item come up. And I knew how much Clarence was a fan of Frederick Douglass. So I figured he had to have it. And I'm like, what a thought. This is so fucking thoughtful.
Yeah.
He
also They're lovers.
He also got him a $15,000 bust of Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, okay. Lovers. Okay.
Let me tell you something. If I gave you $500,000, it could just be like, yeah, man, I just believe in your cause. But if I give you a $19,000 Bible and a bust of Abraham Lincoln, my dick has been inside of you.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
100%.
100%.
There's no middle ground. Yeah, when the gifts
That's a thoughtful gift.
You guys have something good going on. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. Like, he was flown out to, like, this, like, other retreat he has where he would, like, apparently this guy Harlan Crowe would host, like, Clarence Thomas along with other like government officials and like business magnates, and be like, hey man, they're just kicking it together. You know, I have no clue what they're talking about. I mean, yes, Leonard Leo, who runs the fucking Federalist Society, who's the architect of all of our current judicial fuckery that's going on in this country, they just kick it all the time together on their little bro hangs, and it's, you know, all to the good. What it turns out, though, like in the LA Times about 20 years ago, they busted Clarence Thomas for not reporting shit. And ever since, like, that happened, Clarence Thomas has just stopped reporting or disclosing things altogether. Like, ever since he got burned, he's like, yeah, well, I'm not going to do that shit anymore. And not only Crowe regularly has Thomas stay at his invite-only resort, where, again, it's like an all-men's retreat. Here's the thing. This place has a clay tennis court, a batting cage, a replica of Hagrid's hut from Harry Potter, bronze statues of gnomes, and a 1950s style soda fountain where they make like bespoke milkshakes.
This shit sounds great, man.
Can you please go back to the Hagrid's house?
Okay, I'm not a Harry Potter like person, so I don't know what Hagrid's hut. I know who Hagrid is, but I don't know what the significance of having, like, is that like a pizza shop for Harry Potter fans?
I think they're all maybe they go there. That's where they talk about all their anti-trans stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, and this tribute to J.K. Rowling, the Hagrid's hut, where we enter and come up with new ways to vilify and dehumanize trans people through legislation.
I mean, this sounds so. I feel like, if we want them to turn around, we have to say, like, oh, no, you guys are lovers. and just be like, no, it's fine. You know what? Actually, these just sound like really great gifts. Let's celebrate your guys' love. And then he'll be like, I'm not. No,
I'm trying to influence him for judicial decisions. Oh, good. We used homophobia to bring the truth out. Fantastic.
Also, all this shit like is so influenceable. Like, I'm listening to everything you've been listing off, and I'm like, I would give you whatever you want if you let me come to this shit.
Jackie, like, it's like
whatever you want.
You're just a milkshake sways you.
Hell yeah. Hey, Hagrid's, you know how good Oreo milkshake is?
Hagrid's Hut and a milkshake?
It's
look,
pretty good.
We're simple. We're basic motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
And he gave me a fuck Hagrid. I thought it was a real milkshake. Nope, you have to fuck Hagrid now.
You have to fuck Hagrid just to enjoy this Oreo milkshake.
Yeah.
If you get so chummy with people and you know you're all on the same page, that's really all it takes, truly. You know, just to be like, yeah, of course, we get it. Like, without even saying, you know, you don't really have to. But to be in proximity to these people is really, again, it's like one of those things where, like, of course they are. And then you're like, of course nothing can happen. Not to mention, okay, this guy, he isn't just giving money to the GOP. He also, he loves making it rain on people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, two senators who got in the way of a lot of shit recently. So you're like, okay, so this motherfucker knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he knows exactly what he's doing.
He's taking them to Hagrid Town.
They're all going to Hagrid's Hut. Yeah. You know what I mean? in terms of like what Democrats are talking about, like Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee have said that they're going to address this.
Oh,
but
sure.
But like probably in the same way they're addressing police reform. You know what I mean?
And gun
like,
violence.
Yeah, you'll I'll address it by saying I'll address that. I will say out loud, this is a problem. But another member of Congress was saying like, you know, it may not be worth the fight since it would destroy people's faith in the court. sir? Sir?
Oh, my, he's getting money.
What do you think the sequence of events here is? That we're on the precipice of losing faith in this bot? Like, people do not give a... People have already lost faith in that shit, unless you're one of these, like, monster bastard donors that use it as, like, your fascism accelerator tool. Then, in which case, you fucking love it.
Yeah.
So... It gets you feeling a little bit like, well, maybe they'll address it out loud. And that's the most we can get.
Yeah. I also wonder, too, if because they're all such awful, horrible people, is it really influencing or is it just terrible people coming together talking about terrible shit? Right. Like the donors just like, hey, maybe we should stop women from having abortions. And Clarence was like, I was going to do that anyways. Let's just party. Like,
right.
I feel like they're all so bad. It's going beyond influence. And it's really just demons hanging out with each other.
Yeah.
In Hagrid's hut.
You know what's wild, though, too? There was like a district judge that was confirmed by Trump, like when he was in office. They swore this guy in at Harlan Crow's fucking house. Like, swearing in was just in this guy's society. Like fucking library. There is this one clip that's just kind of fun to hear because, you know, like apparently fucking Clarence Thomas like loves to portray himself as this like folksy guy who's like really not into like he's just really into RVs and shit. But we're hearing about all these like how he's yachting it up and taking P-jets. I just want you to hear this like. How full of shit this guy is when he's describing himself, like, in this documentary.
You know, I don't have any problem with going to Europe, but I prefer the United States. And I prefer seeing the regular parts of the United States. I prefer going across the rural areas. I prefer the RV parks. I prefer the Walmart parking lots to the beaches and things like that.
Oh, really?
Nigga, what?
Walmart parking lot?
Well, if that's part of RV, that's RV culture, because you could take your RV to like the Walmart. That's like a thing.
Oh,
I didn't know.
And
like,
also,
if you RV
prefers putting his pubes on people's coats.
Yeah, exactly. So, all over them. I mean,
there is like, so much pubic hair
everywhere. I love it. I mean, I like to go wherever the pubic hair blows. And that's where I end up, you know, just sitting down with Ginny and she comes up with her, you know, fantasies about overturning elections. And I just put pubes on Coke cans and laugh at Anita Hill's, you know, terrible misfortune. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, right now he has put out a statement finally because like Harlan Crow's like, I don't know. This guy's my friend, man. What do you want me to do? Like, I never did anything untoward and it's just hospitality. Justice Thomas has said, quote, Harlan and Kathy Crow are among our dearest friends, and we have been friends for over 25 years. As friends do, we have joined them on a number of family trips during more than a quarter century we have known them. Early in my tenure in the court, I sought guidance from my colleagues and others in the judiciary and was advised that this sort of personal hospitality from close personal friends who did not have business before the court was not reportable. And he was just like basically doing the, I didn't know I couldn't do that defense, which will hold up when you're influential in this country.
Of course,
I mean,
he
if
knew.
You didn't know you could do that, then you shouldn't be on the court. The simple as that. And also, it's just like, all right, look, like we're poor. So comparatively to these,
I mean, you are okay.
So I mean, I
have titties on my wall.
You do have art.
Okay?
You have titties on your
wall.
I don't have no titties on my wall.
Yeah, I need titties on my wall. That,
I should get some titties on my wall to class this place up.
It will. It doubles your income.
Someone's gonna see. They're like, oh shit. Okay, Mister. 0.5%
Oh shit! That man got some double D's on this
wall. You're not
figures.
Poor. It's mean. You're not poor. I'm not classist.
No, but no. Comparatively, we are poor compared to these motherfuckers. So sure, when we sure. hear all this shit, like it's like, goddamn, all this. But like, it's not that. I mean, yeah, man, you rich and you inviting people, like you said, to do rich shit with you. Like, why not disclose? Why not disclose that? Like. Unless you was on some shit.
Like, right.
Going on a yacht and going to somebody's house and somebody giving you a gift isn't bad unless you know all this shit is swaying your decision making as a judge of the highest court of the land. So you look guilty.
Yeah.
That's why men are bad. That's why men are bad liars and bad cheaters, because like you do the dumbest shit. Like if you know you own some shit, don't not disclose it. Disclose everything. You'll be like, what? I disclose all that shit.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't do that because it's like nothing's going to happen to them.
Nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Like the shit with, oh man.
They're like, so, boy, what you got? What do you got? What do you got?
It's like the thing. It's like with Trump, everyone's like, he's not going to fucking jail.
He's not over this shit.
He will get away scot free. Nothing will happen to these people. They're above the law. Just go, just get on TV and be like, hey, everybody. I'm super above the law, so like, don't even worry about it.
Yeah,
just go back
just
to your
my
jobs.
Time. They're just wasting my time right now. It's all good. Yeah. Don't worry. Your boy will be free after this. Yeah. And I would love so badly to fucking eat these words. But again, like I've said in past episodes, history shows me the data set I'm looking at. It won't fucking happen because it didn't. They had their chance with Nixon and they didn't do it. And then that emboldened Reagan and they didn't do shit. And now we're here. Here we go. But yeah, we shall see what goes on in those parts. But again, I think to your point, Jacques, is like the reason he can't even talk about it is because it reveals just how politicized that body is, rather than being like, oh my God, we are completely objective. I'm like in a fucking hyperbaric chamber where people can't even fucking talk to me when I'm unless I'm like on the bench here. And you realize, no, they're chumming it up. And from there, they hear people's designs on what they think American can be. And if they agree, then, you know, they kind of know which direction to move in. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to another fucking big story, too, in the Tennessee State House. So two Democrats were expelled from the Tennessee House after they joined in a protest the week before on the House floor, which only happened. The only reason that they engaged in this protest, for just so you realize, is because the Republicans during the session, they fucking turned off their microphones during the debate because they're like, They're just spitting too many facts and they're trying to make us feel bad. We got to cut the microphone off. So they used a bullhorn. And apparently they're like, oh, no. They called it a disruption. And a lot of people were likening it to like January 6th on Fox. They were like, this is why we can't have people just invading these political buildings and things like that. And you're like, okay, whatever. I don't have time to pick all that shit apart.
It's so insane.
But despite that, there were no arrests. And the protesters were entirely peaceful. So really not like January 6th at all. These were like students and activists who were like, we are dying. You are doing fuck all. What is going on? And now here's where the racist bit comes in. Only two of the three were expelled. Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. You know, again, Jones said we called for you all to ban assault weapons. And you responded with an assault on democracy. So the third member of this protest was a woman named Gloria Johnson, who she was one vote shy of being expelled I don't know which person suddenly had a change of heart to flip the math when the votes seemed the exact same for these two black members of the state house. But when it came to her, as she said, my survival was probably due to the color of my skin.
I think it was done on purpose for sure.
Of course.
They were just like, hey, Jeff, why don't you keep her in? Just see, let's see these libs explode.
100%. And they there's been like blanket condemnation. But when you look at Tennessee, actually, they're kind of ahead of the curve when it comes to going full fash. Like in 2018.
They're doing a great job.
Yeah, in 2018, this political science professor created like a scorecard as like a way to like analyze and assess like sort of the level of healthy democratic norms that existed in a state. Tennessee was dead fucking last on that list. You know, this is another state that has been gerrymandered so bad that there isn't a single state Senate seat that is competitive, which essentially guarantees they have this like super duper fucking majority to basically be like, man, we can do whatever the fuck we want, including expelling people who are merely voicing like concern over what is happening. Not to mention, we can dilute black political power by expelling these two black politicians. And, you know, this is also just disenfranchising the many black residents that these two people represent. And it's still possible they could run again, but we don't know yet what these fucking creeps in the state house might do to try and find a way to prevent that as well. But
they'll definitely find a way. And it's if you listen to the way stuff was said, it was so disgusting and like, you need to behave. Yeah. You're lucky to be here. All that fucking bullshit that they throw. It was
very
awful to watch.
Yeah. Really. And yeah. I think a lot of people are like, this is the heart, like what people fear is like a lot of copycat shit like this happening in these other red states where they have these majorities where they are going to disenfranchise voters, not by trying to overturn an election, by merely just expelling like rightfully elected people just to kind of keep the momentum going for whatever.
I'm not gonna lie. I did not really know that this was a possibility. I just had never heard of it until this. So I was like, is that easy to get niggas out of the fucking and now that like one group has done it, the fear is other groups around the country are be like, we can get the niggas out this easy.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And all we need is if we have a 2/3 majority and we have super majorities, we can do fucking anything. And usually you'd hope that there's some kind of balance. But again, the way these, especially after the 2020 census, the way these maps have been carved up, it's fucking very, very fucked up and scary. We'll see. But I mean, like, it's good to see. I mean, I don't know if it's good to see, but rightfully, all the people that were in the state capitol were like, this is an absolute fucking disgrace. What the fuck are you doing? And it's so wild to see how cowardly these fucking people are, because the second they interact with like people in the public, they're like, what are you trying to do? They're like, get me to my fucking Suburban so I can fucking peel out of here with my security. It's just. Yeah. So they're insulating themselves. Meanwhile, like, people are dying needlessly. So,
this is why to make one more point, this is like one reason why I want people to understand that even though we're seeing like, you know, Republicans lose like in Wisconsin or more progressives getting elected or things like that, the damage that we don't see is shit like this and the power that like these conservative and Republican Congress members have, like the shit they're doing or the shit they can do under our noses is so much more scarier than the shit that we see on the news. Like, so if this story came to the news, like, imagine the shit that's going on that we don't fucking know, and the power they don't have, and like the way they accumulate their power.
Yeah, like, that's why I think. That's why it's so important to actually be engaged with what's happening in your state. Yeah. It's not just about federal politics. It's at the most local. Yeah. Like, the shit that you're gonna feel first is at the local level. The federal shit, you know, makes its way to you. But if you're not aware of what's happening, I mean, it's like the same thing. Like, Ohio is also in terrible shape because it is so fucked. That map is also carved up. They've got wild majorities. And, you know, when we're just seeing like a curtailing of rights at a really rapid rate. So, you know, just something to exhale about in a exasperated way.
Yeah, it's just, again, it just feels like, well, like they were so good at, like, they had the Republican Party had the patience game where they just played long term, got basically under the skin, mm-hmm. and are now like a sore bubbling up and just right. pus all right. over the skin of America. Just like
right.
gross.
And it's
disgusting.
Too late for topical creams.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's like we gotta cut it out.
Gotta excise it.
Gotta cut it out.
The thing is, yeah, you know, like to your point about like just like the long game, they saw the writing on the wall. They're like, okay, we're dealing with decreased religiosity is on a downward trend. People mm-hmm. are becoming more into like politics that appeal to people on the left and further left. What the fuck we do? They're basically just like, okay, then we have to rig the game until mm-hmm. they don't know. It's like, okay, they're going to beat us in basketball, but what we're going to do is we're going to sneak into the locker room and put a bunch of lead weights in their shoes and also put little needles in their uniforms that distract them. And then the ball will be 10 times heavier. The rim will also be about like five times smaller, and they won't get a fucking shot in. And then we'll go on the other side and do what we do. So keep an eye out. But yeah, the fuckery continues. All right, let's take another quick break and we'll be back to talk about fucking exorcisms, dude. And also Russell Crowe's fucked up accent in this movie right after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And so is fucking Russell Crowe with another banger character acting performance. You know, unless you intentionally went to go see this movie, I mean, I don't know that many people did or will, but, you know, it is an Easter weekend. So maybe you wanted to do something in line with your beliefs. And
what
go
a
see
time
something.
To bring the movie out.
Yeah.
You know what we should bring out on the weekend of Jesus's death or rising, whatever the fuck it was?
Yeah.
A movie about the devil.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It turns out it's going to come out the 14th. So, yeah, it comes out the 14th. But I bet there's a sneak preview for the believers if you really
you
want.
Know, you know what was the real gift for Easter was all those allegations of the Catholic Church Such Kids came out again.
Yeah, another one, right?
Now that's another an Easter one. Gift.
Now that is something that all people can ignore to preserve their cognitive dissonance about what the real threats are in our society. But yeah, you're gonna this movie that's coming out, it's called The Pope's Exorcist, starring Russell Crowe. And his accent, which is so good that it's bad, actually. Or maybe it's so bad, it's good.
How many Italians do you know?
Does Mario count?
No.
Super Mario Brothers? Yeah. All right.
Who's Chris none. Pratt now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chris Pratt. Right. Exactly. I know.
Hey, it's me, Mario.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, dude? It's me, Mario.
What's up, dude? It's me, Mario, bro.
Sick, dude. Here's where's my brother, Luigi?
Loogie.
Hey, Luigi, dude. Let's go. Let's smang some shrooms, dude, and go see fucking Star Wars. But the movie is apparently allegedly based on a true story about the real life Catholic priest, Father Gabriel Amorth, who claimed to have performed over 50,000 exorcisms.
50,000? Fuck off. There's not that many days.
He's the Wilt Chamberlain of exorcisms. Okay? That's what he's claiming out here. He's putting up fucking numbers, which is apparently what fascinated Crowe, quote unquote.
Wait, and is like Crowe produce it?
I mean, it must have, when they came up to him, he was like, hold on, 50,000? Okay, I might be in for this. He said when he began reading the history of the real life priest, he said he was intrigued. Quote, he left behind a whole bunch of his first person experiences to read through. I think there are like a dozen books or something like that, you know? So it was just his journey that really fascinated me to start with. Okay.
Hold on I just did some quick math. Maybe I'm wrong. Uh-huh. 50,000 divided by 365 days is 136.
A day. If you did 50,000 in 1 year, yeah, that would be a wild pace. I mean, who knows?
That's too many.
I mean, one is too many. This guy, though, we've talked about him before on the show because he formerly like came to, or not prominence, we like first noticed him when he was like warning everyone of like the dangers of Harry Potter and yoga. And he's like, it's a gateway to the demonic. Yeah, you might have a point with Harry
Potter.
Especially
yoga.
Yeah.
Like downward dog. downward to hell.
Did either of you like exist in any like religious community? I went to like a Lutheran school as a kid.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish, but not really.
Okay, good.
I'm Jewish, but
you avoided this crap.
I never went to Hebrew school, and we don't really believe in the devil. So
of course, hell, which is a great thing to have in your religion.
I grew up in a very Christian household, went to Christian school and all that bullshit. But my grandma wouldn't let me watch Power Rangers anymore because she said it was demonic.
Yeah. I remember having to talk to my grandparents when they were alive. They had like their church friends over and I had to explain to them that Jay-Z and Beyonce were not consorting with the devil.
Wow.
Because that was like a big like church going thing where they're like, I don't know. That's what I heard.
My dad is very Catholic religious to the point where he thinks that like chakras are demons.
So you are aware where people do have.
I am aware.
Don't go there. That shit is demonic. I remember when in elementary school, they told us like Ouija boards are bad basically because they're against the second commandment.
Okay, I won't fuck with a Ouija board. That's like,
because
I
you don't
want
to fuck with the second commandment.
No, because I do believe.
Because I will not
have
any other gods before him.
I believe in spirits and ghosts and woo.
Wait, hold on, Jay. What happened? Did you have a thoroughly good experience with a Ouija board? That you're like, I don't need to fucking touch that shit ever again.
I had one that said my dad was gonna die.
Oh no!
I didn't need to. But then it also said that I was gonna meet Ringo Starr when I was 23, and that never happened. Okay.
Okay, then it's bullshit. That's like the way I became like an atheist was like being in school so much. And they're like, my parents themselves weren't religious, but I just went to this school and they're telling me about prayer. And when I did not get a fucking Nintendo for Christmas that they told me prayer brought you things, I was like, I'm off this shit. Fucking bullshit. Yeah.
You should try manifesting, huh?
Oh, yeah. You should see my vision board.
Yeah, the new wave stuff isn't religious at all.
Despite it being on my board, I have zero Lambos. So I don't know what the fuck's going on with that either.
But you're not dead yet, Miles.
Exactly.
Yeah. I still got Lambos.
That Lambo could happen.
This movie, I went to WrestleMania in Los Angeles last weekend, and
wait a minute,
right before,
I thought you said WrestleMania, like a Russell.
Russell Crowe fan event. Yeah.
Is that not what you heard? That's what I said.
Yeah, WrestleMania.
I went to WrestleMania.
I was dressed as Maximus.
It was every accent. It was every accent he's ever done in a movie.
Right.
It was one section. But I went to WrestleMania. And like right before a match, it was called Hell in a Cell, which is like a crazy fucking violent match. The Pope's Exorcist was the sponsor for the second night of WrestleMania.
For Hell in a Cell.
And like for Hell in a Cell, that's where they like dropped the trailer. And like they like, you know, tricked the audience to make us think somebody was coming out. And it was just music for the Pope's Exorcist. And then Russell Crowe gave like a speech to like hype the crowd up. And then they played a little bit of the trailer. And when I tell you, 84,000 people inside that stadium was booing the fuck out of this movie. I was like, they were booing the shit out of this shit like the entire time. I was like, they paid money to be sponsoring like WrestleMania,
right?
And you just lost 85,000 people in one night.
They should have. And it was the funniest shit. Wow.
Seriously,
I mean, did they think like Undertaker or something was going to come out because like the mood shifted? Like, oh, is something going to pop off? And like a fucking commercial.
The two characters that were coming out are like, not to get too deep into wrestling lore, was this dude Finn Balor and Edge, and they were playing more like, oh, I got demons inside of me and it can only be squashed in Hell in a Cell. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like they thought like, what a perfect match to promote our movie. And the audience was like, fuck this movie. Get to the match, bro.
Damn.
And Russell Crowe gave like a speech and like, WrestleMania, are you ready? And people was like, fuck you. It was great.
He should have gone to WrestleMania.
Exactly.
He should have gone to WrestleMania.
People love that shit at WrestleMania.
Wait, Edge is still fucking wrestling?
Yeah, he did retire for like 9 years because he broke his neck. But like, medicine is better than it was in 2011. So
what a quitter.
Came back.
Wait, wasn't he with like Christian or something? Wasn't it Christian?
Edge and Christian.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, whatever happened to Christian? Hate to see it.
Also, but
it,
still wrestles.
Oh, really? Damn. I mean, it really does turn into that, like the wrestler, where it's like this is all.
I mean, honestly, they're truly the only from back then because we're around the same age. They're the only two who's from that era that's still going. But they're good still.
Well, again, like it just reminded me that at my school, they like warned everybody like, do not fuck with the Ouija board. And this was also around the time The Craft came out because like all the girls in my class were doing like slumber parties and have it doing light as a feather, stiff as a board. And then like like back in school, they'd be like, we did it this weekend. And Ariel went like 19 inches off the ground. And they're like, y'all are consorting with demons. But anyway. In addition to the fact that the world is actually not in short supply of shitty Russell Crowe films, a big problem is that this movie is like perpetuates this idea that, quote, the Catholic Church's effectiveness against demonic incursion, which is something that people like will point to. It's like, oh, you know, like we're not exactly treating exorcisms as bullshit like in this country, because like legally people will say like, oh, it's a valid form of therapy. You know, and there are a ton of stories out there about how like terribly damaging like real life exorcisms are. Like last month, the chief of police of Colombia, he revealed that his police force, quote, used exorcism and prayer to tackle crime for decades. And it shouldn't be too surprising when you see the fucking magazine cover of this, like the article that he was in. He's like, he's posed in front of a gigantic depiction of like Jesus being crucified. And it says, El General contra El Diablo. The fucking general versus the devil is the headline.
Oh my God.
And he also claimed that this was because, quote, criminals use witchcraft. I know culturally people be fucking with that. I get that. And, you know, he's saying his police are able to kill by praying while shooting. That's a quote. They pray while they shoot. Which sounds like one of the most horrifying sentences I've ever fucking heard from a police officer. And just for some context, this is the same police force that was like also in the headlines in 2020 for massacring 11 people during protests against police brutality.
Oh my God.
I don't know if God was in the building then. And it's not just like this one story. There are a number of stories where there's institutions like weirdly accepting exorcisms, even when they like harm people. Like last summer in Canada, there was like a Bible camp they tried to exorcise a boy who, quote, exhibited seizure-like symptoms instead of, like, calling a doctor or going to a fucking hospital. And the cops concluded there was no criminality. And the staff member that did the exorcism was like, I did it once and I'll do it again. I'll free any of these kids by the power of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh,
I'm convinced that all these exorcists were just like sick people, like motherfuckers who just had a really bad like sore throat. And they was like, yeah, get out, man.
Laryngitis.
And it was like, that's the devil. That's the devil. Yeah. That's-
I mean, when you have no context or you just want to look at everything through your, like, the demons are everywhere confirmation bias, then yeah, I guess they are. Like, another example of these, like, amateur exorcisms that go wrong, there was a toddler who passed away tragically last year due to a botched exorcism because they thought she was possessed because she would, quote, this toddler would, this is the, her demonic behavior was, quote, she would wake up and scream or cry periodically.
Oh, my God.
Then I got a damn demon in my house right now in the form of my newborn son. I didn't realize that this motherfucker was taken by demons. So, again, you're like seeing
actually,
this kind of
actually, that makes sense.
What the
baby's
fuck is
being
this?
Possessed by demons? That makes sense.
Much easier thing to wrap your head around than like colic. Yeah, you're like, it could be gassy or something. Nah, that shit's demons, man. Shit is fucking demons. Yeah, and there's in 2020, there was a real uptick in a lot of this shit. And while people were like arrested and charged in a lot of these examples, sometimes the quote exorcism component of the story like lets people off the hook for more serious crimes. So like in 1997, which, you know, a case found two missionaries, they were cleared of murder charges. They were downgraded to manslaughter because they said they were trying to heal, not harm the person that they killed.
Oh,
and like,
God.
Just taking that as like, oh, well, they thought it was a demon. Like, no. Motherfuckers,
yeah,
this person,
you never hear a lot of Buddhists doing this stuff is all I'm saying.
Nah, not really. Not
although
really.
There was isn't the Myanmar massacre by a bunch of Buddhists.
Well, yeah, that's a little different version, but yeah.
That's a little rough, but no, it's just like...
Not quite saying it's demons, you know, like there's a line. There'd just be more like ethnic tensions, like ideas of demonic shit going on. But
hey,
yeah.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
To all the writers we were talking to earlier, This is a great thing. If you want a good story, let me give you something. Go ahead and start writing it. A bunch of yogis who are possessed by demons in yoga class.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is a comedy Ooh. Waiting to happen.
Yeah.
That's a comedy.
That yoga is actually the work of the devil.
Comedy waiting to happen. Comedy waiting to happen. I hope in 5 years
that's not
I see that movie.
That's a demon. All right.
Yeah,
that's
I have no spine because I'm an invertebrate serpent man who's come from the demonic depths of hell. But yeah.
I would watch the shit out of that.
And the thing is, these were amateur exorcisms, I guess, not official Catholic Church ones, but like implicitly the church's promotion of exorcism as a legit practice is a huge part of the problem because from the church, they're like, yeah, man, you got to exorcise these motherfuckers. And according to one of the church's exorcism divisions, requests for exorcisms have only increased in recent years. Like in one letter from the church said, quote, more people of goodwill have been experiencing various forms of spiritual attack since the onset of the pandemic.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Did y'all experience a form of a spiritual attack during the onset of the pandemic? Or did you just feel a growing sense of alienation and, you know, desperation and cynicism brought to you by our actual hellscape called capitalism?
I felt a bunch of horniness.
It was I think it was capitalism, but it would be nicer if it was a demon because it seems easier to escape.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, next thing you know, Democrats will probably lean into that to avoid like grappling with any serious issues. And like, it could be demons, actually. Like, and that's what's going on with the Supreme Court and police brutality.
Clarence is a demon.
White supremacy is a demon worth fighting. Yeah. But it's a demon, first and foremost. Let's get that straight.
Oh, it's slippery. Slippery guy.
And like I was saying, The Exorcist, right? The film that came out, what was that, in the 70s?
70s,
Yeah, that basically kickstart, like, the exorcism boom in America was brought on by that film. Apparently, right before The Exorcist came out, the Catholic Church was trying to, quote, downplay the more supernatural elements of the Catholic tradition. Because they're like, I think we're maybe losing people with this, like, ghost in a cave who then came out and, like, we're eating his blood and shit. Maybe, you know, let's find something a little more easy to fucking tap into. Then the movie came out and created, quote, a demand for the ritual that was unprecedented in American history. And they're like, we got something now. So anyway, clearly this explosion of demons was related more to mental health and the power of suggestion, even though the story that The Exorcist was based on was also total bullshit. Two years ago, we learned that the real identity of this kid, like Ronald Doe, the kid who was like, you know, whose exorcism inspired the film. And according to his partner, he later admitted that he wasn't really possessed. He was just faking it because he was a quote, I was a quote, bad boy.
Such a bad little boy.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it's just good luck to Russell Crowe and your terrible accent. But yeah, it's just so wild. Like that, there's just they love an exorcism, but then when you see people like try and do that shit in real life, you're like, that is not like you just shook that person to death or suffocated them or something. But hey,
well, I know 85,000 people who not gonna go see that shit.
Right. I bet there was one person who was like, shh. I'm trying to hear.
Oh, this looks really good.
Oh, this is really good. This is my hero.
The guy wants to fight Russell Crowe. The demon does. Satan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. For that writer, when you start the movie, you gotta start it with, in 1972, there was a priest, the chief exorcist, who said yoga is demonic. Turns out he was right. And then fast forward to present day.
The guy who also wrote this, he also wrote a film called The Unholy. Okay. Wrote Wanted 2, if you remember that film.
Ooh, Wanted. Yeah. Love that movie. The one with Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
I don't know what the first movie is, but.
James McAvoy.
These sound terrible. They sound like terrible movies.
Yeah. And dude, this is what the guy looks like. Evan Spiliotopoulos. This is the picture that comes up when you look him up.
Wow. Oh man, this guy
he looks
has like
he believes in demons.
Oh yeah, this guy has nepotism written all over him.
I know, right? Like you look at him up, it's like, oh,
he's like a rich Greek oil baron or something.
Right. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Maybe, you know, there'll be some kind of spiritual miracle that this film does numbers at the box office. But I have a feeling this one's going to be for the grandparents who want to freak you out and be like, have you seen the new Russell Crowe film? Anyway, Jenny, thank you so much
for joining us
on the Daily Zeitgeist. It's a pleasure to have you. Where can people find you and follow you and see you and listen to you, all that?
Jenny Zagrino on Instagram, Twitter. I hate Twitter, but whatever. Go there. TikTok is Jenny Zagrino Comedy. Check out my album on April 14th, Gen Z. And if you want to see the sexy hot visuals, go to Comedy Central YouTube and watch the special.
Fantastic. Is there a work of social media or a tweet that you've been liking that's given you the giggles at all?
Let me think. Oh, there is a meme that I really love that makes me laugh thinking about it. Perhaps you know it, but it is a sunflower in the wind. And someone put a face over it, and it's just singing Creed, One Last Breath. Over now.
Oh.
I'm 6 feet from the edge, and I'm freaking. See, you don't even need to say words. And you guys know what I'm talking about.
Not when you're yarling. Love it. That's the beauty of it. Oh, shit.
Now Jacquees, y'all are going to think about Creed. Good night, everybody.
We don't try to appear. He just can't. There's no way.
My sacrifice.
Can you take me higher? Yeah, oh, love that.
Let me tell
that.
You something. In 2001,
Killer
was popping, bro.
Oh, yeah. Creed was popping.
They had us on the south side of Chicago and be like, my sacrifice. Like, damn, I feel this shit, white boy. I feel it.
Oh, my God. Jacquees, of course. Thank you so much for joining me the last few episodes. It's been a pleasure, man. Where can people find you, follow you, and what are you promoting? Is there tweets you like?
You know. You can find me in these streets as per usual. New York City. I'm coming with Will You Accept This Rose?
Yeah.
With beautiful and lovely and amazing host Arden Marine and Brian Safi and some other people. I should know the rest of the lineup, but I'll be there. So check it out. Tickets are going fast. They are about to sell out. So get those tickets. Comedian Feud every month here in Los Angeles. Grand Crew. Please
love
watch
that.
It.
Love fun. That. Love
great
that.
Show. Great show. Support the show. Support the
support
homies.
It. Support.
It's a beautiful time. Yeah. At Instagram or at Jackie's Neil. So I got a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these are just true, you know, pandemic or not. Why do motherfuckers stand so close behind you while you're waiting in line? Like, yeah, man, give me 3 feet, bruh. You ain't got to be on my ass. I ain't got to feel your breath on my neck, man. Like, you gonna put your groceries down in due time, man. Like, get the fuck off my back, bruh.
Yeah.
It's like, I think people like smelling people, man. I think that's what it is. People just like, get a sniff. They get a quick little sniff.
Fucking creep behavior.
Then they go on out.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Creep behavior.
Another one. Yeah, me in 1960, there's a meme of a black dude looking fucking just fly as hell, drinking out of the whites only water fountain. And then somebody saying, me in 1963, because they would have had me fucked up. so funny. I love the bravado of black people in 2023 being like, man, in slavery, I would have fucked them niggas up. And I'm like, yeah, man, you would have got murked. Like, yeah, just like all them other.
Oh, yeah. Like I would have fucked that overseer black up. Watch, I would have caught that whip, fucking ripped him off the fucking horse, body slammed his ass.
Boy, they would have killed your ass so quick, dude. Yeah. They would have killed you so quick.
Yeah, and the Holocaust, I would have run, sure.
Yeah, man, they
would have
I would have been like, get out of here, you Nazi. You silly little
monster. Leave me the fuck alone.
Boy. They would have been like, oh, really, night.
Shit.
Like, the shit that makes me laugh is when black people say, man, they would have had to kill me. I was like, and they would have, motherfucker. They would have killed you. They yeah, would have killed
it,
you.
It was that easy. Oh, man. Yeah. The tweet I like, first one, at the USA Singers tweeted, Republicans hate when critical race theory is taught, but they love it when it's applied. And I'm like, couldn't be fucking truer. And just like on a Good Friday last week, this tweet, I just saw it from at Drake Gadsby tweeted, Jesus, today will forever be remembered as the day I was nailed to a cross and murdered. We should have a name for it. Like Terrible Friday, maybe. Yeah. Well, bit of a misnomer there. You can find me at Miles & Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And you can find Sophia Alexandra and I on our other show, 420 Day Fiance, where we get so fucking high and talk about 90 Day Fiance. We don't even know if we're actually watching the show anymore. So check that out, because we are coming back, very soon. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Fuck.
Footnotes.
Thank you so much. Where you can find all the articles that we talk about, as well as the song we ride out on today. Today, got a great treat. One of my favorite producers and artists, Kay Trinata, is teaming up with Amine, and they have a track called Forever out, the number 4 EVA, featuring Pharrell, who just turned 50 years old. Look into that demonic shit, Catholic Church. How the fuck is he so young? Okay? Maybe there's some demonic shit Russell Crowe can look into. But this track is fucking amazing if you like Kay Trinata. And if you don't know about Kay Trinata, come on, learn about it. It's going to be a great track. So put that in your ears. That's going to do it for us. Obviously, this show is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get shows. That's it for today. We'll be back later to tell you what's trending. All right, later. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.